right here in my presentation. I believe Islamic fundamentalism is way beyond those explosive chattings. Those guys, the ones who do the act of violence, they are at the very end of the sliding scale of fundamentalism. At the other end of the sliding scale of fundamentalism are Muslims who act as if they have the keys to heaven. To me, that's the main problem. You see, when you have that mentality and you have instruments which bring that mentality to life, the Islamic State, Sharia law, the bigoted notion of Ummah, not the cultural Ummah, just the bigoted notion of Ummah. Whoever wants to join us has to adopt our set of rules and values. That's wrong. People should know that Islam, in its formative stage, absorbed cultures as much as it imparted its own cultural values. So, agreed. I agree with you. We don't have a generation. And in fact, I see among Muslim youth of today, they have elements of that fundamentalism, even though they don't know it. You know, they start thinking, we're Muslim, we're safe. They say stuff like that. Actually, no, you're not. You're not saved just because you call yourself Muslim or Christian or Hindu. You're saved by your acts. Are you continuously acting for the sake of good? And if you are, then, you know, God will be with you. You'll be okay. About the Mu'tazila, what's the lesson learned with Darren asking that? In my opinion, the Mu'tazila failed because they were a top-down system. They wrote stuff which nobody can read. I tell you, even today, I have to seriously struggle to understand some of the ideas. It's so difficult and philosophical. But they didn't care to make their ideas effective on the ground. And I think that's important. I think it's important to write things in simple language so people can understand, you know? It's like, okay, you disagree with Sharia law. Write something saying, okay, here is Sharia law. I disagree with this. It contradicts the Quran on this level. But here are things which can be reconciled in the Quran, therefore let's follow that. Maybe that's the lesson learned. You need to make things accessible for people. So, lastly, Nadia's question, what is the practical step? To me, the practical step to any movement is identity. And we saw that, I mean, with the Quranist network, when we first used the term Quranist, people were like, oh, well, are you creating a sect or something like that? We had that problem in 2011. But now, people see that our groups, I mean, we are mostly active on Facebook, people see that our groups are the places where you can air any opinion and you won't be censored. Why? Because we don't believe there is a clergy. We don't believe anyone has official key to Islam. We do believe that people should come and have their ideas. If you disagree, you can disagree in peace. You don't have to say, okay, well, you know, going here and going there. And, oh, we don't need such things. So for the Protestant Islam, we need the first practical step is to create that identity. What is that t-shirt you have? I am a Muslim. I believe both of us can go to heaven. Hey, you know, wear that and let people see it. And people are like, what? Don't you believe that all Muslims? No, 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 I don't believe that. I believe all peacemakers can go to heaven, for example. You know, so that's the practical step. Create that identity. And let me tell you, the best people to do this are the Ahmadiyya. I am so amazed at their level of action. You know, I was just walking, I usually go to teaching, or, you know, Rizwan's talks, yeah? And, you know, we'll be walking past loads of restaurants and we'll see Muslims for peace, justice, and so on. Yes, Islam. But then we'll see that Ahmadiyya community in London. They are very active in their work. Yet the majority of Muslims say, no, they're not Muslims. But they are the most active. They are the ones doing the kind of work which the Quran calls for. So that's what we need to do. Thank you.
Any points of that 4 minutes?